Now, you may have sussed by our reading that today is a feast day in the Christian calendar. We don't often celebrate feast days, but I thought it was interesting to look at the life of Mary Magdalene, because I think that there are moments that occur in all of our lives that define who we are. For some of us, it's birth, choice of work, who we marry or who we don't, birth of children, and deaths in the family. And that defines us, how we cope with all of those. And so, as I said, I thought we'd look at Mary Magdalene and look at the moments from the Gospels that define her. We first meet Mary Magdalene in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke tells us that she's one of several women who followed Jesus as he preached the good news of the coming of the kingdom. Luke tells us that Mary Magdalene was delivered from seven demons. Now then, we know that in the Gospels, the number seven denotes totality and completeness. So, okay, we have to look at that within that context. So, what Luke is saying is that when Mary met Jesus for the first time, she was completely enslaved to Satan and darkness. She was a slave to sin, really, and could therefore no longer help herself. We don't know for certain how this demon possession manifested itself. We would be wrong to assume that her possession resulted in prostitution, which seems to be a popular misconception, I think fueled by the many works of art that we see, and that is another sermon in itself, how Christianity is beliefs are coloured by art pieces. Anyway, whatever it was, Jesus set her free. His very words were enough to command those demons to flee. And so it was no wonder that these women, and especially Mary, followed Jesus. He'd given them unimaginable freedom and God's unconditional love. So is it any wonder why they loved him so much and wanted to follow him? From the time of her deliverance, Mary Magdalene followed Jesus. She went where he went. She listened, she learned, and she believed. And it looks as if Mary desired nothing else but to serve the Lord who had saved her life. The scriptures also tell us that these women and Mary supported Jesus and the Gospels from their own means. Whatever that support was, it was given out of love, not because they had to. So Mary's deliverance from evil and her call to follow the Lord were defining moments in Mary's life. The next time we meet Mary, she's at the foot of the cross. And now I will do the reading. And it comes from John 20. 1 to 2 and then 11 to 18. And you'll understand why I've done everything this way round. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. The disciples then went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you'd carried him away, tell me where he had put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he has said these things to her. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, our Lord. So before all of our reading, and I needed to give you our reading then so it stays in your mind for this next bit, we see that Mary is standing at the foot of a cross. And this is an unusual place for women to be. It's not a woman's place. This is a place of blood and death. And she looks up at those three crosses standing before her, and she watches Jesus die. It must have seemed so meaningless. She must have thought, how could this happen? Jesus, who gave freedom, bound to a cross. Jesus, who gave life, now dead. Mary must have felt deserted. This too is a moment that defines Mary's life. She goes, we know, with Joseph of Arimathea, takes down the body and prepares as best she can in that limited time. And she thinks that she will go back on the Sunday to finish those preparations. And finally, on that day, she sees the stone rolled into place, sealing Jesus' lifeless body in the grave. Another defining moment. As we've heard on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been rolled away, Jesus' body gone. And as we heard, all she could think of was that somebody had stolen the body. So she runs to the disciples, Peter and John, run to the grave to see that what she said is true. Jesus wasn't there. They leave. What's all that about? But Mary is left there, pondering, weeping. And she sees these angels. And she doesn't give them another thought. She is so drenched in her grief. And that, I think, is why she turns away. And then she sees Jesus, who she thinks is the gardener. And what is it that pulls her out of her reverie? Jesus says her name, Mary. And it's then that her eyes and her ears are opened, and her heart is overwhelmed by that joy of knowing that her Redeemer lives, and to hear him call her by name. The resurrection of Jesus changed Mary forever. All the fear that she had washed away in a flood of joy. Everything that Jesus said was true. She believed. Her hope was restored. Her Lord was Lord and death was dead. Jesus had come to save the world by sharing in its curse. And by taking the curse of death upon himself, he took it away from her and away from the world. The curse of death couldn't contain our Lord, the Lord of life. Mary's told once again to go to the disciples, to share in that good news. Jesus was alive. They had not been deserted. Jesus was with them and always would be, as he had promised. Mary Magdalene wasn't a prostitute. She wasn't the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She was a sinner in need of God's grace and love and forgiveness. And what is so special about Mary, and the reason we remember her today, is that the moments that define her life and make it special are the moments that define our lives also as children of God. Like Mary Magdalene, we too have been delivered from the kingdom of Satan, his possession, chained to sin and sentenced to eternal death, unable to help ourselves. But at our baptism, Jesus met us and called us his own. In baptism, the Lord freed us from Satan's power. In baptism, our Lord called us to follow him all the days of our lives and be his disciples. As his disciples, we have followed him. Through the hearing of God's word, we have joined Mary at the foot of the cross. We have seen our dying Saviour and we know why he is dying. He is dying for Mary and he is dying for us. He is dying because of our sins, taking our place, taking our guilt, taking our punishment. At the foot of the cross, we see him dying our death once and for all. For his sake, we have received forgiveness and reconciliation to God. Again with Mary, and because of her testimony recorded in Scripture, we visit that empty tomb. With eyes of faith, we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead for our justification, proclaiming our innocence before God. We share in Mary's joy and hope in a Saviour that will never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus, we have the hope of eternal life. In the book of Hebrews, we are told about the heroes of faith. They are the great cloud of witnesses whose lives have been showered by God's grace. Their testimony recorded for one purpose. They are witnesses to God, of God's long-suffering, his grace and his love. They are witnesses for us so that we might believe. Mary Magdalene is a witness to us of the great things that God has done. For the first time Mary met Jesus, Jesus proclaimed his victory over Satan by casting out her demons. At the empty tomb, Jesus proclaimed his victory over Satan's curse on this world, death. And then Jesus told Mary to go and tell the disciples the good news. After meeting Jesus, life would never be the same for us. In our baptism, in our lives lived at the foot of the cross, knowing what Jesus has done for us, having faith in Christ's resurrection, we too join in that great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us, proclaiming God's grace in Jesus Christ to the world. These are the moments that define our lives, from victory to victory. Victory over Satan, victory on the cross, victory over death, victory over resurrection. joy in Jesus Christ, in the Lord who calls us by name. Amen.